The word of the Lord forms a portion for our sermon text this morning is the 43rd Psalm. Judge me justly, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from the deceitful wicked man. I know you are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go around mourning because of the oppression by the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and gladness. Then I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you so depressed, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I will again praise him for my salvation from the face of my God. This is the word of the Lord. Congregation, may be seated. Mercy, grace, and peace are yours through your God and Father, and through your Savior from your sins, Jesus, dear sons and daughters of the King. As I was preparing for this sermon this week, I came across a riddle. I'd like to pose that riddle to you here today. The riddle goes like this. I am weak, but I am strong. I have no powers, but I am powerful. What am I? What is it? The answer is feelings. Feelings can be either weak or strong. Feelings have no power in and of themselves. They are not tangible. They are not facts. Yet they can make us react in dramatic ways. For both good and bad, of course. Feelings are powerful things. What does it feel like to be strong? Well, it gives us the impression that we are able to do anything that we set out to do, that there's nothing we can't do. If you feel strong, you will attempt to do something that perhaps even maybe you shouldn't. But on the other hand, what does it feel like to be weak? Well, feeling weak can make even the most ordinary tasks seem impossible. The truth of the matter, of course, often lies in the middle of those two extremes. You may feel strong, but that doesn't mean you necessarily have the strength required. And you may feel weak, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are weak. Let's look to the Bible for some examples of this. Peter felt strong as he set out on the Sea of Galilee, walking to Jesus on the water. But once he saw that the wind and the waves were boisterous, he began to sink. God called Moses out of Egypt to deliver his people from Pharaoh. But Moses thought that he wasn't the right man for the job. He was too weak. So he gave the Lord excuse after excuse. I think we can feel both extremes throughout the course of our lives. There are times when it seems like we can't do anything. There are times when it feels like we can do anything. But the key determining factor in what you can and can't do is understanding the source of your strength. That is Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In our sermon text this morning, the author of this psalm feels depressed. He feels weak. There is this inner conflict within him. The author knows how he feels, and yet at the same time, he knows what the Lord has promised him. Both things, the promise of the Lord and the feelings of the author, are real, but they don't agree with each other. It begs the question, how should we deal with weaknesses here in this world? You might feel rejected, yet God promises that you are rescued. His word is more powerful than any powerful feeling we could ever feel. Therefore, we will praise the Lord. And we pray, Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. That word weakness, that's a very general term. It can mean a bunch of different things. The three different concepts that jump to my mind when thinking about weakness are these: structural weakness, physical weakness, and mental weakness. Structural weakness is a matter of integrity. For instance, we are about to replace the deck at the parsonage. There are spots on that deck that feel fine, but on the other hand, there are definitely spots on the deck that feel weak. You can feel it kind of give underneath your foot when you step on it. The deck, therefore, needs to be replaced because it is structurally weak. What about physical weakness? Well, we know what that is. Person A can lift 300 pounds and person B can lift 200. Therefore, person B is weaker than person A. But physical strength is not the same as mental strength. Mental strength, I think, in my mind, is the same thing as willpower. It's the ability to not give in to something, whether it's as trivial as staying on that diet you are doing, or as serious as not giving in to the temptation to sin. Being strong physically has no correlation with being strong mentally or spiritually. Here in our text, the author is conflicted. He's being harassed by some unknown force. He feels the pressure and he seeks refuge. Verse 1, "Judge me justly, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from the deceitful, wicked man." We're not sure a couple of things who these subjects are. We don't know who the writer of this psalm is. It's very closely connected to the previous psalm, Psalm 42, which is attributed to the sons of Korah, which is an unknown liturgical group. We also don't know who this wicked man is, or this ungodly nation who is oppressing this man. So there's a lot we don't know. But isn't it strange here that he says he asks God to judge him? Well, some translations render this word "vindicate me." Some go with simply "judge me." But our translation goes with "judge me rightly," justly. It's the idea of like a legal appeal. Say you had some dispute and you knew you were in the right, you go to the judge to say, "Vindicate me, judge me correctly, judge me in truth." Whoever this deceitful and wicked man was who was oppressing him, the author seems to be losing heart here. Here we see the conflict in verse 2. "I know you are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go around mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" It's like the author is trying to square away two different ideas that don't agree with each other. He's trying to admit the fact that he's depressed, at the same time, praise God for being his strength. I think as a Christian, this is a really easy feeling to kind of associate ourselves with as well. It feels like we know God is going to give us only good things, and yet, in the world, nice guys finish last. It's like we're just the doormat for this world. How does the world react to injustice? Well, they take it into their own hands. If they feel like they've been wrong, then they feel entitled to do wrong in turn. The Christian, what are we commanded to do? Jesus tells you, "Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek to him also." Following Jesus' words there is a very difficult thing to do, and it's seen as weakness by the world. The world rejects us as weak, and therefore we can feel rejected also by God. So how do we explain tribulations? I think we tend to fall into faulty logic on that subject often. I'm being attacked by this person. This person remains unpunished, gets away with it scot-free. Therefore, God is punishing me. That's how the author felt here. He asked God, "Why have you rejected me?" Well, we need to be delivered, that's for sure. But we're not the one who gets to determine when and where that vindication, that judgment, happens. There's all kinds of parties that we feel like we need to be rescued from in this earth. But we need to start with the one wicked man, that man in the mirror. Rescue me from the deceitful wicked man. First and foremost, that deceitful wicked man is yourself, your old Adam inside of you. We need deliverance from that man every single day with daily contrition and repentance. He's going to remain, but he needs to be killed every single day. After you deal with that man inside, that old Adam, you don't really need to worry about any other opposition out there. They are sinful, so are you. God will judge. Verse 3, send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling. We may often feel despised, forsaken, lost, but we never are. In fact, the truth is quite the opposite. We are saved. We are rescued. We are redeemed. That is what your Lord Jesus does. Remember the words of a different psalm, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? A key to not feeling weak spiritually is not determination or effort. The key to not feeling weak spiritually is enlightenment through the light of the Word. When you read about the promises that God gives to you, his people, how could you ever feel weak? Your God is the definition of strength. He spoke the word, the world, into existence. That very same word of God tells you that you are saved from sin and death forever. Nothing can happen to us that we cannot overcome through our strength, our stronghold, God. So is this psalmist then unbelieving? Does he have weak faith? Well, this too is another important point to bring up. The key to feeling weak or to dealing with spiritual weakness is not to deny or ignore that weakness. Denial of weakness, well, that's a weakness in and of itself. Don't deny feeling weak. Rather, admit it. The only way to fix weakness is to do the same thing that this psalmist does here, to acknowledge it and then fall back on the grace of God and the Word. Let's go back to those three different types of weaknesses. If I was to walk out on my structurally wanting deck, even though I can feel it buckle underneath my feet and I say out loud, this deck is solid, well then when I fall through that deck, foolishness is mine alone. Or take someone who can only lift 200 pounds and they decide, I'm not as weak as that person, and they want to prove that by lifting 300 pounds. He proves it, but if he can't lift it, well, then that bar is going to come crashing down on him. He could get seriously injured. He'd be foolish to attempt that all by himself. And the same goes for mental strength or willpower. If you are on a diet, it would not be a good idea to stroll through the food court or pizza parlors. It's temptation. It's a no-brainer to us. Why would you do that? And yet, when it comes to sin, we like to think that we aren't weak. It's okay to watch that video, even though we know it has bad stuff in it, because we're strong enough to handle it. It's okay to scroll through that gossipy Facebook post, because we know that we won't be affected by that. We're strong enough to handle that. It's okay if we just look but don't touch. Of course it's not. It is trying. You're walking on weak ground. Once you recognize it, we need to go the opposite direction of that weakness. It's important to identify these things, to confess our weakness, to confess our sins, and to acknowledge that we've been rescued from these. And we have been. We've been redeemed. There is no weakness that we can't overcome. So then why we go back and try those weaknesses? The answer to overcoming weakness is given here in our text. Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. That light and that truth of the Word of God guides us to salvation. It tells us that, yes, you are weak, and you are forgiven. The Word points out your weaknesses. It doesn't deny them. It doesn't ignore them or cover them up. Rather, it points out the way in which we are to deal with them, the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. That's why it's never shameful to be seen as weak, at least not weak in the eyes of the world. Look to your Savior. Jesus was willing to be weak. He was willing to be crucified by sinful, flawed humans because he loved you. How trivial is it for us to be depressed about our weaknesses in comparison to Jesus on the cross? This is the Almighty Son of God, the very Word of God that created the universe, and yet he allowed himself to be weak so that our weaknesses would never condemn us again. What does the Apostle Paul say about weakness? For 2 Corinthians 12, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." All throughout this psalm, there's this intense desire to be with God. Like that would, the only thing that's preventing him from happiness is a connection to his God. He says here, "Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and gladness. Then I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God." The season of the Sundays after Easter, like we're going through right now, often focus on the events post-Christ's resurrection. It talks about how the disciples saw Jesus after he died and rose again. It must have been great for those disciples, those apostles, to converse with their risen, resurrected Lord. But Jesus wasn't going to just hang around forever. He was going to ascend into heaven. And the disciples had to disperse to go to the ends of the earth. They needed to see that the resurrection, yes, was real, and then they needed to move on because there was work to do. How do we deal with weakness on this world? Well, isn't that exactly what we are doing here today in church? Why do we get together at church? Well, we do it for several reasons. Number one, we do it to follow God's commandment, the second commandment, keeping the Sabbath day holy. Another way to put that is, as Hebrews 10 does, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. So that's the first reason, second commandment. The second reason is we do it for each other. We go to church to encourage one another in the faith. Being here in person has a very positive effect on one another. Not only is it beneficial for our brethren, it's beneficial for us as well to be with them. Third reason we go to church, we gather to praise God for what he has done for us. Here we read the word. We read that he is indeed worthy to be praised. But church isn't something that we do for God. No, church is something God does for you. And that's the last reason we get together here at church. We worship at church first and foremost to see what God has done for me. Here we see that, yes, we are weak. Yes, we are sinful. Here we see that he is strong, that he is merciful, loving, steadfast, forgiving. This is something that we know by faith. Yes, it's something, though, that we need to be reminded of every single day of our lives. Verse 5 here is a refrain that needs to constantly loop in your head. Why are you so depressed, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I will again praise him for my salvation from the face of my God. Throughout Psalm 42 and 43, our text, this verse is repeated 3 different times. It's a refrain of sorts. Here, the inner conflict is finally dealt with and solved. He realizes, yes, I feel depressed. I'm disturbed, but I don't need to be. Why? Well, because no matter what happens to me, no matter what, I will praise my God once more. No matter what happens to you, even if you die on the trip home after church here today, you will praise God again. You praise him now here in church. You will praise him in his eternal glory in your heavenly home. Jesus is there, in fact, right now, preparing a place for you. He said in John 14, there are many mansions where you think we're going to end up. Will we experience pain and grief here? Will our weaknesses show themselves here on this world? Well, no doubt. But the concrete truth of justification, you are justified by your Savior, that stands forever. We can feel strong at times. Other times we feel really weak. No matter how we feel, we are saved by Jesus, and that is a fact that will remain true for the rest of your life. Let's ask that riddle one more time. I am weak, but I am strong. I have no powers, but I am powerful. The best answer to that riddle is not feelings. What is the answer to that riddle? It is the Christian. Doesn't that riddle describe us? We are weak, yes. Those weaknesses, they're shown. But we have been made strong through the strongest of saviors. We have no powers in and of ourselves, it's true. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And yet, we have been made powerful through that powerful word of God. It tells us that we are forgiven. It tells us to preach that same word boldly in season and out. And it tells us, worship God. So that's what we're going to do. He has saved us. He has turned your weaknesses into strengths. No longer are we weak sinners doomed to die. Rather, now we are saved saints destined for heaven with him forever. Where he is, there you will be also. Don't need to feel depressed, disturbed. Let us praise the Lord, for we know whatever happens to us, we will surely praise him again. Amen. Please rise.